It's time to assemble your hero's party as we go on a journey of friendship, food, and collecting the most random spells we can find. This week, we are diving into the anime Frieren: A Journey Beyond's End. Welcome, anime fans and foodies, to Anime Bento. Each week, we review a different anime, and we give you some fun recipes to go along with it. Joining me this week is...
Hello, my name is Miguel, aka Aquamax.
Finally, we get to talk about this anime. I've been holding myself back from messaging you about my thoughts as I've been watching it. It's been very hard. There's been a lot of moments... I was like, oh, I want to say something about this show to him, but I knew we'd be talking about it eventually, so here we are.
Yeah, I also have a lot of thoughts about this anime. How much should I say right off the bat?
Well, I guess non-spoiler, you could say something. So I didn't pick this show. You picked
it. Yes, I picked it.
You picked it, so... I have hopes for it.
Let me give you some background as to why I picked it. So it started with, I couldn't go to sleep one night, and I was looking for something to watch on Netflix. And I found this show, and I started watching one episode. Next thing I know, it's like 3 or 4 a.m., and I am still watching these episodes. And I'm like, holy crap, I need to go to bed. And then when we started talking about anime to... watch next, you had already said one, but I was like, well, I haven't, you chose the last one, so it's my turn. And you're like, fine. And that's when I finally said, okay, if I really want to talk about Frieren. So that's the little bit of background of how we chose this one.
Okay, I have my opinions on this anime. It might be controversial because I'm
trying to fight.
I know people love this anime. I've seen the fandom.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like people will fight to the death to defend this show. I'm a little nervous about what I will say in this episode, but I won't hold back. But on that note, we'll jump into the food and then we'll get started. So
I think we're going to be fighting.
Oh, we're going to be fighting? Oh, interesting. Well... this could be the end of a friendship here.
This could very well be the end of a friendship. So speak at your own peril.
Okay. First off, let's give you some treats for you that will go along with this episode. So first up, we have a warrior's birthday. This is a giant hamburger. So break out your biggest skillet. You can make this burger as big as you're comfortable flipping it. But the bigger, the better, of course. Season your burger with salt, pepper, onion powder, garlic powder, oregano, and some smoked paprika. That's just how I like to season my burgers, but however you like is fine. And then toppings are optional, but your best way of eating this is just like a giant steak. For our cocktail this week, we have the Booze Priest's Blessing and an Ode to Heiter. This is a matcha take on a highball. This consists of whiskey, lemon juice, matcha powder, and club soda. And lastly, our mocktail this week is the Blue Moon Blossom. Pineapple, orange juice, blue raspberry Kool-Aid, cream of coconut, lemon juice, coconut water, and topped with lemon lime soda.
That last one sounds really good.
Oh, yeah. Make sure you mix it really well. That cream of coconut's very thick. So just give it a really good shake and enjoy. And hopefully you'll enjoy it faster than it took them to find the actual flower that episode. If you make any of these, we would love to see the picture. So please tag us at Anime Bento Pod. Now let's jump into the show. Brace yourselves. The following contains spoilers that might make your favorite character's past seem less mysterious. Proceed with caution. Okay, so Frieren.
Free Ren. Let's get it right.
Okay, I don't just insult her. Don't insult. Free Ren.
Yes, there you go.
Free Ren, the journey beyond end. Right? Free Ren, the journey beyond end. Okay. The little synopsis about... Man, every episode you're on, I cannot talk. I feel like I stumble every episode that we're together. But okay.
Also, you got it wrong. It's beyond journey's end.
Beyond journey's end. Yes. Yeah. I have it in my notes, but it's just at the very end. Okay. The Demon King is defeated, and the legendary Heroes Party, composed of Himmel, Aisin, Heiter, and Frieren, have returned triumphant. Unlike her comrades, Frieren is an elf with a lifespan of over 1,000 years. When her human friends pass away one by one, she is confronted with the profound realization. The 10 years they spent saving the world together, which felt like a fleeting moment to her, was an entire lifetime for them. Driven by regret and sudden desire to understand the people she traveled with, she decides to retrace the original Heroes Party route, with a new apprentice seeking to collect forgotten magic and gain a deeper appreciation for the fleeting nature of human life and the memories they made together. Frieren, Beyond Journey's End, aired in 2023.
There you go.
Now, let's jump into the show. And I'll start, because I feel like...
Go ahead.
We might as well get out of the way.
Go ahead.
This show... I'm nervous now. This show... I don't know if I would have finished it if we weren't doing it for the... When you say, like, you couldn't sleep, you're going episode through episode, I was like, this is so long. These episodes are very long. it was just like, I was like, where's the action? It's in my mind, I'm thinking, was I wrong about the show? Is this not fantasy, magic, action-y, kind of warrior-esque, Dungeons and Dragons-esque type of anime? And in my mind, I was thinking, is this just kind of a slice of life fantasy world anime where we just follow her going through journeys, collecting magical spells for a little bit? So it was, I might say it was a good, I believe this anime is 28 episodes long. I will say 28. It was 28, right?
Mm-hmm, 28.
28 episodes long.
And the first season.
The first season. Season two is coming out this coming January. So if you enjoyed this season, then you got more to look forward to.
I'm holding back right now. I'm just holding back. I'm waiting for you to finish your thoughts.
It took me a good maybe 7 to 8 episodes till I finally was like, here we go. I'm into this. And then I fell out of it.
Oh, no.
I got into it. I was like, yeah, here we go. We're fighting demons. And then I'm like, oh, now we're doing the same thing again. And then a character came into the show, and I was like, oh, we're back. We're back again. I think you know who I'm talking about.
Yeah, like,
we're back again. And then the character didn't join the party. I'm like, oh, I'm out of it again. And then the last 6 episodes was really good. So.
Who's been a grammar
police? I've never been a grammar police in my life.
I am. I'm just saying. Sorry. I couldn't help it. I just have to correct you because it's wrong in so many levels, not only in your grammar. But anyway.
Okay. So those are my first impressions, and then we're going to deep dive into the characters and thoughts. And I do have some favorite moments. So, but on that, what about you? And you come at me where I was wrong about everything.
Okay. So my first impressions, I will say, as you were talking, I did remember the first time I tried watching it, I was watching episode 1 and I got very bored. I I was really tired too, though. So it was also another late night, and I started it. I wasn't really paying attention to it. I was on my phone, so I didn't really watch it and just kind of ignored it and just stopped it and went back to one of my comfort shows for nighttime. But then when I retried it and restarted episode one and started watching it, my first impressions were this is a slice of life, like very wholesome, very low stakes, low stress show. And it's the perfect type of thing, like just to get me in a calm mood. And so that's why I really enjoyed it. That's why I was stuck. Now, when you say that it took you the first, what, 7 episodes or 8 episodes to get into it, uh-huh. I know opinions vary, but your opinion is wrong. Because I absolutely loved it. I mean, the magic, the storytelling, the art, the fact that there's so much happening in within the sequence of a single episode where there's no voice, there's not like no actual dialogue or anything happening. You just see time passing. And that's where you get a lot of information of the shows. It's very much of a visual, just visual storytelling without having to use any words. Like, I guess I don't know how to describe it. I'm sure there's a term for it. But that's what I really loved. I thought the art was beautiful. I thought the pacing was very nice and soothing, but still not slow to be boring. Contrary to unpopular opinion over here. So yeah, that I guess those were my initial thoughts. Like, it was very much a show about dealing with loss and kind of like the trying to honor those whoever you lost through actions. I guess, I don't know. Maybe that's something I might realize more towards the end, but I don't know. This show was very soothing. I thought it had plenty of action for a slice of life type of show. So I was happy. I was hooked.
Okay. I'm not going to backtrack from where I was, because I feel like every time we talk, I'm backtracking. Like, I kind of wanted a little more. Hit the ground running. I didn't do any research about this. I kind of just dived in. I knew it was super popular. It just felt very slow to me in the beginning. I just wanted to kind of like, I wanted to pick up the pace a little bit. And it's weird because I do enjoy slice of life a lot. It just was like, I don't know, something about it. I was just like, whoa, these episodes really, really are dragging along. Not doing much, and she's kind of going from one place to another. And even in her journey, before we really get Fern involved, it's still like 8 months. It was like she's doing this thing, and then 8 months later, she's like visiting someone, and she's like, "It's been 8 months, and I really haven't done much." Like,
I mean, that's just the life of an elf. They perceive the whole notion of elves perceive time very different way. So to her, 8 months is but a measly seconds to us, maybe a couple of days, if that. Like, it's nothing. Like, she even says, like, 10 years is just a decade. Like, it's nothing. It's a measly decade.
I think it's just, maybe it's because she's so dry and very stoic kind of person. I mean, she's funny.
Okay.
She's funny. She has her moments, her I don't know. I don't think it is sarcasm. I think she's just very blunt, but her delivery is very dry. So, yeah.
Which I think this honestly makes me like her more. She's not purposely trying to be funny. It's just her social awkwardness, I guess, maybe. I don't know, like her, just her persona in general. Like, she's just very, she doesn't understand a lot of social concepts, I guess. And doesn't really know how to interact with others, it seems. Like, she just is.
I think it's that, and then it's not until another character joins our party that I'm really like, okay, here we go. There's a little more dynamic in it. There's more, just to have a different personality type in the group really changed the show for me. And it really makes her more funny when there's someone to bounce off of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would agree with that.
And then I was like, okay, we're getting into it and a little more is happening. So for me, a little slow. I would say, filler-wise, that, I mean, maybe there was two filler episodes in this season. And I mean, at 20, like the birthday episode, you didn't really need that one.
I you think would argue so? You did. Yeah.
Why that so? Gives you, like,
that gives you a growth within the Freerun, who's previously could care less about people and their, I don't know, whatever they hope, like their traditions and things like that. Like, she wouldn't bother really to get to know people as much. But ever since Himmel, she's made an effort to get to know human culture, get to understand people and what is important to people. So that episode just highlights that she has grown in that amount of time, however long it took from when she, so let's see, it was 50 years after Himmel, plus however many years it took, I don't know, probably 50 to 80 years, I guess, is when from between when Freerun last, like first met, not first met, but ended the journey with the Party of Heroes, and then when she would have met Fern, how many years is that?
Oh, it had to be like 60 years, right? 60, 70 years?
Something like that. Yeah. I don't know what age Himmel died. Not Himmel, Heiter. Like, how long after Himmel died did Heiter die? But either way, you see this growth in her where now she cares enough that she remembers, one, she remembers Fern's birthday.
Oh, no, I'm talking about Stark's birthday.
Oh, Stark's.
With the hamburger. I love the hamburger. We did an ode to it today. But, like, I think that episode.
Okay, I thought you were talking about Fern's birthday.
No.
I'm like, that's a huge, like, growth within Freerun. Like, she remembered the birthday and she made a noticeable effort in that whole episode to, like, find a place to take her to eat sweets because she obviously knows that Fern likes sweets. But she didn't know what to get her for a gift, which is, like, she's, like, shooting, like, kind of, like, scolding herself, like, for not having actually learned more about her to know what to get her. But still ended up getting her a gift that Fern loved regardless. Mm. But the Stark episode, I'm trying to remember what happens in that one specifically. Now, mind you, I've watched Freerun way too many times to say proudly. it's been my comfort show.
So just a little behind the curtain of how this podcast is. Sometimes we record it, it gets pushed back or whatever. So I haven't watched this in like 2.5 weeks or so, and I was really worried about if I can remember a lot of things from this anime, and Miguel over here was like, I don't know, I just felt like he was in the same boat as me, but to find out that he is the master of Journeys Beyond.
I just finished rewatching it for the umpteenth time a couple of days ago, and I restarted it, and I'm on up like halfway through it already. If I'm working, honestly, I just put it in the background and listen to it while I'm working. glance up, and every sequence, if I see something new that I hadn't caught at some point, because I tend to get distracted easily while I'm watching shows. So I know this show pretty well. I probably not nowhere near as good as like a true fan. As you said, it has a huge fandom. I've been getting some recommendations of subreddits for free, and I had to avoid them because they have spoilers probably from the manga. So I clicked on it once, and then like, nope, I gotta get out of here. But anyway, so that episode was Stark's birthday. Let's see, that's where Fern goes with Stark to pick out a gift for him, and she didn't realize it was his birthday. The whole potion, I guess that. No, I mean, I think it did provide a little bit of a little bit more than what I would consider a filler, because to me, a filler adds zero to the story. Like, there's nothing really added to the story, but the story is about relationships. So that episode, Stark realized that while when he first thought that his brother and Aizen never really like gave him a gift for his birthday, didn't really care for him, he was useless, yada yada, that episode made him get like realize that his brother like loved him and really cared for him. And I get chills thinking about that episode. Like the brother telling him to save himself and run, because the brother would cook him this giant hamburger steaks in secret for his birthday. And Aizen did the same thing, because it's a warrior's custom to eat this giant, enormous, like, they're like, what, the size of a freaking, bigger than a platter, I don't even know, they're huge steaks, hamburger steaks for your birthday. And that's just, he realizes that, oh crap, I do matter to them. I did matter to them. It wasn't it like what he pictured or what he believed was, I guess, how he was seen by those that he loved was incorrect. And he, I think, gained a bigger appreciation for both his master, Aizen, and his brother.
I still don't think we need it, but
in a show about relationships, I wouldn't call this a filler.
Let's dive into some of the characters. So, first up, we have our main character, Frieren. So, what do you think of her? I think we talked about her a little bit, but...
A little bit. I think that's
the whole thing. What is her show?
It is her show, yeah. I love her. She is truly a genius of a freaking magician... Mage.
Yeah, I would say mage. Yeah, because they are all mages in that world.
Yeah, so she's truly a genius. Like, but she doesn't flaunt it. She's not arrogant. She's very quirky and hates to wake up in the mornings, which, girl, I get it. I hate waking up in the morning. It's a struggle. So I get her struggles. Fantastic powers, personality, very dry, yes, very kind of monotone-ish, like she doesn't show a ton of emotion, but there's still some fluctuation, there's still some emotion that she does show every now and then, and especially as she's like getting hit with realizations and reminiscing and interacting with some of these, her new party, essentially. I think she's a fantastic main character because, unlike our last show, where we saw zero character development.
Oh man, Seth's gonna fight you on this one.
I think we saw zero character development in whatever the heck the other guy's name was.
Shinra from Fire Force. Yeah, man, talk about someone's opinion. Seth, come after us.
Sorry, Seth. Not sorry. It's true. That dude has zero development. But Frieren, on the other hand, ton of character development. You see her start to understand culture. Like, get hit with a realization of the importance of the building those relationships. In the first episode, you'd see her, she doesn't want to take on an apprentice because they're just going to die. Like, why bother? But obviously, by the end of it, she has an apprentice who she obviously adores, loves. And she has taken a lot of interest in trying to get to know the party of heroes that she traveled with, by going with this new party on this other adventure and go talk to Hemo again. I think fantastic main character. Honestly, superb job.
I do like her a lot. She would be a great addition to anyone's party. Not just power wise, but she is very, very funny in her own way.
Quirky.
She is a quirky character. I feel like if I was playing D&D, this would be like the character I would kind of create. Someone who only picks up random spells. Like, what was the one? She picked up a spell where she could see through clothes.
Yeah.
And just random spells that are not even really useful in combat or for, they're useful in everyday life, but not useful.
I mean,
seeing through clothes.
Seeing through clothes could be useful in combat. You could see what people have any hidden weapons.
I mean, even after she got the spell, she was kind of like, this is a kind of boring spell.
No, she didn't say that.
She didn't say it was like, meh?
No,
or was that Fern?
Fern was like basically saying, I don't see the appeal in this. And Freeran says, well, I'm sorry, my body isn't interesting to you, or something like that.
I just remember Fern looking at Stark and being like, small. So small.
Nothing about me is small. Yeah. I love them two together. Anyway, sorry.
But yeah, I enjoy her a lot. I just, for a main character, she is just kind of slow for me. And for me, like, it really took me to get the side characters next to her to really get her up and going. I do enjoy that she made this whole big deal about, I didn't really know these people and the Heroes Party, that she didn't really know who they were. But I feel like as we go through the season, she knew a lot about, there was a lot of stories that she would tell about, like, the times they had together. It seemed like she had a lot of memories of them. She knew his favorite flower, and then she knew about making the hamburger steak.
But she only remembered the hamburger steak after seeing the note. She has a you see in the show time and time again, she has a fantastic memory. She can remember the biggest, like the most minute details. But just because you can remember something doesn't mean you truly grasp the understanding of it, or like you truly, I don't know, like getting the actual meaning behind it. She takes everything very literal. And in the show, throughout the show, she's starting to grasp what she took as a literal thing happening, such as the giving of the ring. Oh my gosh, that episode. But Hemo giving her that ring with the lotus flowers, the way he gives it to her and everything. She hadn't realized clearly how important this ring was, because she thought it was just a ring that Hemo gave her for doing a good job. But in reality, Hemo gave it to her because Hemo loved it. Freeran.
But she didn't know what the flower meant, right? Because she didn't know until Fern told her what the flower meant. Because who was it? Sign told her about the flower, because Stark is a big hoopla about the flower. But yeah, so I don't know. Do you think it would have changed if Freeran knew what the flower meant when Hemo gave her the ring in the first place? Or would she still been like, oh, it's a ring?
No, because even she got told what this flower means, she's like, oh, I doubt Hemo knew what it meant anyways.
But she didn't give it. Remember, she was going to give it to Fern because she was like, oh, it's a matching kind of set. But then she doesn't give it to Fern at the end of the episode. She kind of holds on to it.
Because she realized
what it was. Yeah, but I mean, like, now that she knows what it means.
No. She realized everything that happened in that episode, like, you see her, like, as a sequence of the...
But, so, you think if she knew what the flower meant in the beginning, when she first got the ring, it would still play out the same? Like, she would still not really care much for the ring? Because it was only until she knew, because she was going to give it to Fern, and then they got hit, like, the cart mm-hmm. got took in the air, and then she lost the ring. And then once she really found out what the flower meant is when she was searching, like, she was searching the whole all night for the ring, and she got it. And then instead of giving it to Fern, because it's a matching set, she decides to keep it now that she knows what the flower means. So she knew what the flower meant in the beginning, would have kind of changed it a little bit.
No, because even if, because she, like I said, she says that she doesn't think that Himmo knew what the flower meant in any case. But as she's looking for the ring, she's starting to remember all, like, that's what I'm saying, the sequence of events, or like the picture, basically, like the part without any voices, like where you get all the different
yeah, like a montage of it, yeah.
The montage. Thank you. I couldn't forget.
Ah, remember who knows that words now, everyone?
I can't. Yeah, I guess. Hush it. It's been a long day, okay? I got an excuse I can use. I've been busy. but after the montage of scenes, she slowly starts to realize, oh, crap. Him obviously knew what it meant because of he looked at it, got quiet. Then the way he gives it to her, literally, like, in one knee, like, gets down to one knee and like, basically puts it on her hand. And that's when it hit her. And that's pretty much when the episode ends, if I'm not mistaken. Or shortly after that.
Mm. She picks out the ring, though, right?
She does find it.
Yeah, she picks, because he takes her out shopping for her birthday.
Oh, yeah, no. Yeah. She picks a ring. Yeah, she's just like, just this one.
Or is it a celebration? No.
It was just a for a job well done.
Yeah. And then she picks it out, and then he kind of gets on the one knee. And after he realized, because he knew what the flower meant.
Yes. But he knew what it meant. But she didn't. And even when she found out what it meant, she didn't think he knew. But then, like I said, she realizes that him or knew what it meant by the end of the episode.
I don't know. Well, maybe.
I forgot how we got to this tangent.
Oh, what was I saying? Oh, I don't know. Oh, her spell. I don't know. Whatever we were saying. But that brings me to another thing that I love about her is I feel like her and I are kindred spirits in a way that she is also very disorganized and messy. When she goes into her little briefcase to find the ring and she's pulling out mm-hmm. all the stuff. I was like, oh, I'm right with you, girl. Like, it's chaotic organization to me. It's all there. She's kind of put it in one spot, but it's nothing is where it needs to be. And that's how I felt about that character. I was like, oh, well, you know, I love your randomness of spells, the spells you choose to collect. And I mean, I also, if it wasn't for my job, I would sleep it. Like, okay, no one judge me, but today I slept until around 10:30. So I'm totally with you on sleeping in. And yeah, disorganization. She's such a great character. I don't know. She's very, I don't know. I don't want to say boring because she's not boring. But, and then she's not, she's quirky, but it's not like Phoebe from Friends quirky, where it's like, energetic quirky. It's just this very, if she was a side character, it would be like great. Her popping in every now and then is great. Just her as the main, it just, for me, it didn't hit the spot. It's hard because I do love her as a character. Just something about it it just didn't fulfill me.
But I think that's supposed to show you how life is just so different for elves. Like, she's just very slow moving. Like, very.
I don't know. We met another elf in this show, and I was like, more, please.
Wait, what?
We met another elf in this show, and I was like, yeah. More. Yeah. This person's on fire.
I'm warming up already.
Yeah. So it's not just, don't label all L's. We met a few L's in this show that are not,
that's fair.
Not like this one.
That's fair. She does lack a lot of a sense of passion, I guess. She doesn't have like a huge passion. She's not your over-the-top main character that we usually see in most anime. Like, I think most anime that we're used to watching, the main character is always very energetic, very driven, very like with clear goals, I suppose. Whereas she's just going through life collecting spells and trying to relive her memories with her friends, essentially, that she made with her friends. So I can see why you would say that, but I disagree. I think, given the show, I don't think she could be a side character because she would just disappear in the background.
Oh, man. I'm so worried about this. I'm upset. So many bad. I love her, though, everyone. She's great. It's
uh-huh.
Just...
No, you can't take it back.
just for main character. She just...
Everybody bring the pitchforks.
This is a different
kind of
show.
I will lead the charge.
You'll lead the charge? I don't know. I just... She's great. She just... I guess I'm not used to... I grew up with Dragon Ball Z and Goku. Those are the main characters I lived with. So
like I said,
she's bringing a different energy. Great energy, just different from what I'm used to.
See, I feel like if the main character was Stark, then I feel like it'd be a very different show. But Stark has that energy that you're expecting of a main character.
Yeah, I also feel like it's the flow of the story, too, for me with Frieren. I just, because there is an overarching story, and they're on a journey to a certain destination, and I don't know if I would have enjoyed her as the main character more if it was more like a, where each episode was a little, like, one-shot thing, and she goes into town. She solves a problem in the town. She gets a spell, a funny spell, and they go on. I think just because, again, I feel like when I was watching Godzilla Singular Point, not to compare to this Godzilla Singular Point, everyone, this is way better than that show. But in that sense, it felt like almost watching a show in real time. I felt like sometimes I was watching them travel in real time.
And that's the whole point.
And I kind of just was like, well, we can fast forward to the destination real quick. Like, let's go to the
next
town.
But then you miss all
quick.
The details.
We could sit around a table and talk about our trip. She's bringing a different energy to the show to me.
I guess we're going to have to agree to disagree and agree that you're wrong. but I absolutely love Frieren.
Let's move on to Fern. I think we both, like, Fern is fun. Right?
Right?
Do you like
help?
Fern? Yeah.
Right? Oh my gosh. Yes. Fern.
Fern is fun.
Fern is fun. You want me to go first or you want to go first?
You
this time?
Go first, I'm crying.
My thoughts on Fern. I mean, she is impressive. Frieren describes her as like when she's talking to, like when Fern is talking to Ciri, like the era of humans has come, essentially. Like she's referring to Fern bringing the era of the elves is ending and now the era of humans is starting kind of thing because of Fern. She is also another one of those, like, very hardworking and very much a genius, I would say, in her craft. She has a very unfortunate past where she lost her parents. She's about to throw herself off of a cliff to join her parents, and that's when Hyter finds her and basically talks her out of it, and he ends up starting to raise her, and then Freyrin comes into the picture and then teaches her more about magic. But I love how very much she's kind of like the mother of the group, always getting mad at Freyrin because she's waking up late or spending too much. When you see her like going around spying on Freyrin because she doesn't trust her to not waste her money on something unnecessary. And she keeps the party like on track and like, I'm going to spend 10 years. Like, no, we're going to spend a week at most. Like, girl, no. So I like that she's kind of like very sassy, very, whenever she gets upset, everybody's trying to get her to be happy because they know that they don't want to incur her wrath. And it's, I don't know, it's very cutesy, like when you see her like punching Stark or things like that. I don't know. She's a fun character. I would say she also doesn't have a lot of personality compared to Freyrin. Like she's also very, I don't want to say monotone. She's not very dynamic, I guess, and not very energetic like Stark or other main characters. So if we're talking about main characters, I don't think she could be the main character of the story. But I really like her. I think she adds an element of responsibility to the party, and she is what drives things forward in the story.
So Fern is fun, everyone. I enjoy Fern a lot. I enjoy that she holds a grudge. This is a girl who can hold a grudge, and I love that. I think, was it Freyrin was saying to Stark that, or was it Sign, that Fern holds in all this anger, and then she, like, blows up at certain, once you push her to the tipping point, she'll, like, explode on you. Like, the one episode with Stark.
Yeah, that was Freyrin.
I'm hoping, and this could be in a season 2, is that Fern finds direction. I really wish that Fern would find out who Fern is doing stuff for instead of, it just seems like in the beginning she was doing everything for Heiter because he saved her life in the very beginning as a child. And then now it feels like she's doing everything for Freyrin. Because in the second stage of the magic thing, the mage's test, she was like, I enjoy it because when you see Freyrin smile, it makes me happy. I really want her to find her own, like, what is her passion or what does she want to do? I hope that doesn't lead for, I really love her being a part of the group. She's really great for the group. I enjoy her a lot. She's funny and, you know, we need that mom energy that she brings. Because think when you think about Freyrin has been running the show by herself for how many years and just doing her own thing. So, of course, she wakes up whenever she wants to wake up. And, of course, she does, like, she gets spells, whatever she feels like doing, she's been doing because she's been on her own for so long. So, Fern is kind of like, hey, there's two of us now, so we need to really pay attention to how we spend our money, you know, and we can't just be in a town for 8 years doing this one task. Because what were they? How, they were in that town for a year, right? With the flowers?
No, 6 months.
Oh, was it? It felt like a year, everyone.
I'm pretty sure it was 6 months.
Fern felt like it was a year, too. Seasons what? Fern was like, we've been here too long. Seasons changed while they were in that town.
I mean, 6 months is 6 months, so
but I also feel like Fern is, I love seeing Freyrin through Fern's eyes, and that's how I enjoy seeing Freyrin. Because all the little moments where, when she does learn the spell to create the blue flowers, and Fern sees it for the first time and all that happening, and seeing, you get to see how much it meant to Freyrin that spell, but seeing it through Fern's way. Mm-hmm. They've been there so long, Fern thought it was a waste of time being in this town for that long. But then seeing that, oh, this brought this joy to her, unlocked this memory. Something about seeing Freyrin through Fern makes me like Frieren more. So
I get what you mean.
I enjoy Fern a lot. Fern is funny. Fern is fun. Fern is great.
Fern is fun.
And I like that she gets to lead. She leads the group, basically. She's holding this team together. They would have fallen apart ages ago if it wasn't for her. And she's a great character because she knows what the team needs. She knows what, if people need time, she knows that people need discipline too. So she's not afraid to discipline any member of the group.
Oh, yeah. And I like that she's unintentionally funny as well. Like, she's never trying to be funny. And also, or she's a very jealous girl also. Like, she, I don't know if you've caught it multiple times, but like, whenever in that second arc with the mage test in the labyrinth, the one mage goes to hold Frieren to see if she can subdue her, essentially, so that they can get, like, try to capture the copycats like that. And Fern was not happy with, like, she, after she was done, like, she took her, she grabbed Frieren and, like, took her away because Frieren said something like, "You smell nice," or something like that. Or when Stark was trying to hold Frieren because she fell unconscious in the ice or snow, Fern was like, "No, perb." Like, she's very jealous, very protective of Frieren, and I love it.
Like I said, I want her to find her own direction, but I just love how, like you're saying, how close they are together and how so much it's a teacher-apprentice relationship. I think it's more than that. I think it's just like, I don't know. It's not mother-daughter, but like a sister relationship. Like, they really care for each other. I mean, Frieren saw Fern grow up.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's, and then at the end of the mage exam, when Ceri asks Fern to become her apprentice, and Fern says, "I already have one."
No, thank you. I just, the way, if an all-powerful mage asks you to be their apprentice, and you said, "No, thank you," like, bored, every time I watch that, I die laughing because, holy shit, like, you hear Ceri being described as, like, basically the closest thing to the goddess that they have on Earth or whatever the planet name is. And there's Fern just being like, "Yeah, whatever."
But she's got someone already, right? So
yeah.
And then I love at the end when Frieren's like, "What spell did you get?" Like, because we know you can pick any spell you want. She's got all the spells, and she'll give you anything your heart desires as a spell. And Fern picks the spell. What was it? It can remove stains from clothes or something like that?
It's a self-washing spell of sorts, like, to make her clothes clean and smell nice. Which, I mean, that is a legendary level spell, I would say. It would mean no more laundry day.
And I just love that Frieren is like, that you are my apprentice. Like, that, we are the same. Oh, and this made me forget, like, something I really loved about Frieren. Because she is, sorry to go back character, but how she's so awkward. Like, she doesn't understand people. And she just, mm-hmm. when she wants to show someone that she appreciates them, and she just, like, pats them on the head. Like, you know how, like, you would rub a dog on their head?
Yeah.
How she does that, she did to the Fern at that point. But everyone's had a negative reaction to that, except for Fern. Because when she did it to Fern, Fern seemed happy. Like,
they all maybe said something like, "Why are you patting me?"
But
they
it wasn't horrible. Like, they weren't like, "Stop it." They were just like, "Oh, what is going, like, what is this?"
Yeah, they were confused for sure.
But Fern was like, "I love, like, thank you."
Oh, yeah. No, yeah. I hadn't even noticed that, to be honest, until you pointed it out. So good catch.
I know. Every now and then I have these good moments. After I was like, "This is the worst anime I've ever watched." Oh, it is not, everyone. I'm just kidding. I didn't say that. I'll edit that out.
I'm going to clip that.
That's Fern. But let's get to a character that
Wait.
Oh, you got something else about Fern?
I was going to say one more thing about Fern. What was I going to say? Oh, crap. I forgot. Oh, I remember. I do like where you're going with, like, she doesn't seem to have any sense of passion. But I feel like just her life has just been so depressing. And, like, she's a people pleaser. And she's basically living her life for others. So I do look forward to seeing the growth in her and helping her find her passion in life. And I think that passion is magic, but she hasn't really realized it yet. She likes magic, okay? But like, I loathe the fact that at some point Fern is going to pass and Firin is going to lose another loved one yet again. But this time she would have spent her entire life, which I would assume they're going to spend their entire life basically together or close to each other. And I do not look forward to that. Oh my gosh, if they ever make a show or do anything to just pick that piece, I will break down.
With Fern dying as an old woman?
Yeah. I would break down because that's just too much. That'd be cruel. I don't know that I want to see that, but I don't want to see that.
I mean that's how Frieren can go on forever. Each new manga kind of next thing would be like Frieren picks up another group of people.
Another stray child.
Yeah, it's just like, oh, all these humans keep dying.
It reminds me of Siri. She just keeps picking up apprentices.
Yeah, it's apprentices, right?
Apprentice.
Oh, is it already plural? Apprentice?
I don't know.
She keeps getting new ones.
Yeah, and they're all human, so they all die too quickly for her.
But I feel like it's going to be the same with Frieren as her, where. Well, this is Frieren's first apprentice, but if she was to get more, it's kind of like, even though they do pass and go on, they still each have a part, like, they still make an impact on her life. Remember, she was, like, all the spells and...
Favorite spells, she keeps them to memory. Yeah.
So, it's not like they'll go past, like, their memories will be faded from her, so...
Yeah.
Fern will always have a place in her heart. But I agree, like... Well, I hope Fern finds what makes her her passion.
Me too.
What's going to drive her. And so we'll see.
And what could drive her is the next character.
I mean, I think this character drives her a lot. Just saying. But drives her crazy, everyone.
Yeah, that is very true.
So I love this guy. This is one of my favorite characters. This is my favorite character in the grouping, but not my favorite person we met this whole anime. I'm saving that for later. But
yeah, of course.
But that brings us to Stark. So what do you think about Stark?
He's funny. I mean, he's very much a crybaby, but he's such a kind soul, and you just see, I like that we get to see who he was as a kid, like where he's coming from and what happened with his story being picked up by Aizen, being his apprentice, and then becoming this warrior, who's still very much a scaredy cat, but now is able to stand up for others. I love the comedic aspect that he brings to the team, to the party. He's very much, his emotions, he goes through a roller coaster of emotions, which I think is hilarious. Like at one point you see him laughing, crying, like getting angry with Fern, like pouting like a child. So he's very much kind of, he reminds me like a man child almost. I don't know. Very immature. but I love him. Very strong, obviously. Incredible warrior. And he doesn't know, I guess, his own strength, evidently by the first episode that you see him with the dragon. I would say that he brings a great addition to the team with his personality. It mixes up, as one might say, the flavors. It brings a little bit of a zing. But yeah, I think that generally those are my thoughts. What are your thoughts?
I like anyone whose weapon is an axe. Axes are cool. I think axes are better than swords, in my opinion. I think they just look more, not menacing. They look more cool. They're just cooler looking. Like a great axe, they just look cool.
His axe does look pretty badass. Like, it has that extra, like, spike at the bottom. I don't know.
Where the hilt is, right? Yeah.
Is that where the hilt is?
Is it, like, at the bottom of, like, at the end, right?
No. It's the axe. And then one of the edges of the axe, one of the blades, comes down extra.
It has like a little like curve. Okay.
Yeah.
Where it's like this and then kind of like that.
I can't see your full camera.
I'm doing it right, everyone.
Do it again. I want to see.
It's like this is the axe and then it goes like that.
No, look it up. You'll see.
I'm right, everyone.
You're wrong. Either that or you're just terrible at explaining things.
That's which what it is.
Also the case.
I wrote stakes instead of star. Yeah, I was kind of doing that. It has like a little nub at the end, like a pointy nub.
Now I'm going to look it up because let me see a picture of his axe. Okay, I found it. Yeah, it's not a nub. It's like a spike.
Yeah, a little nubby spike.
Your definition of a nub and mine are very different.
What is a nub?
A little protrusion? I don't know.
Yeah, that's what a little spike is. It's not a big protrusion.
That's not a little.
It's not as big as the whole axe.
Well, obviously not.
Okay. Anyway, great axe, cool weapon. I like that.
Okay.
I love that he's a man who wears his emotions on his sleeve. You know, he's not high. There's no secret to him. You know what he's thinking. Yeah. And I love that he's not afraid to say that he's in the wrong. He's, you know, when he's made a mistake or admit that he's wrong, and he's always there to apologize, even to when he might not totally be 100% at fault in case of things that Fern gets upset with him about. I am jealous about what happens with him and Kraft. But that's another story. I love that when we meet him and he's living in that village, he didn't return back to Isen after he didn't defeat the dragon or after the dragon left. I thought in the beginning that was because like, oh, the town treats him so well. He lives there basically as a king because he protected him from the dragon, which is partly because of it. But the other half is like, well, what if the dragon? He's like, well, if the dragon comes back, I would feel bad if I left them, even though I can't, I'm afraid to defend myself from that mm-hmm. dragon. And so he's just such a fun character. And he was the dynamic I needed. And I think personality wise, he's what I needed for the group. He brings a different energy. He brings the chaotic main character energy that I want from this show. And he helps balance out everyone really well. And then on the flip side, this is just great for any show. You know, when you have a lot of like magic people whose powers are magic, you need someone who's like a punchy person. It just looks, it's more fun visually.
You need your frontliner.
Yeah. You need a tank. You need someone out there who's willing to run in there and get into the battle and stand up front. So yeah, I love Stark. He's a great character. He's so fun. And yeah, his backstory is very sad. So he's great. And I think he's talking about someone who doesn't like Fern needs direction, or I want Fern to like have a drive. I feel like Stark has already found his drive. His drive is to become a hero and bring these stories back, which I love so much. I like teared up at that point when he says that his goal is to go on a hero's journey as well and then come back with those stories to tell Aizen. Okay, question for you. When he says that, who is he talking to? Fern in that episode where he talked? Did you think he was going to die? I thought he had some disease.
Who?
Stark. When Stark was like, I don't have much time. He didn't say, because it's because of Ice is old, it's dying soon. He's just like, I don't have that much time. We can't wait here that long. I don't have that much time. I was like, what? Is he dying?
Honestly didn't even occur to me because I was just watching it. I wasn't, my brain was turned off. I wasn't analyzing it in, like that at that point in time, I suppose. But no.
He doesn't have much to, like, he doesn't have much life left in him. So he's like, we got to get this journey going. And then we find out later he wants to come back and tell the stories to Aizen.
Yeah.
So I love him.
Go ahead.
I love him. That was just his motivation for doing this. Even, I don't know why I find it different than Fern. It's almost the same. Like, Fern is doing what she's doing for Frieren and to honor Hyder. But Stark is doing this to like repay Aizen for what he's done. I don't know why I find it so different, but I really like Stark's motive a lot, that he wants to come back with these stories. Is it different? Maybe I'm just judgmental.
I think it is different because Fern is very much, between Fern and Frieren, Fern is just going through life and just being dragged along by Frieren. And she gets happiness out of seeing Frieren happy. So, sure, she wanted, and she wanted to find, like, to become an expert at a craft, or not an expert, like, good enough at a craft to be able to support herself before Hyder died as a way to repay him. But Stark is, his stakes don't seem so high. Like, he's wanting to go on an adventure, like you said. He thinks that the best way that he can pay his master, pay Aizen for everything he did for him, for taking him in as a kid and then training him, is by basically showing him that his training paid off. And, like, going on a silly adventure and being able to tell him stories as well. But it feels like one of them is more, like, reminiscing, trying to be, like, being able to, like, reminisce with an old friend, whereas with Fern is more,
I wonder if it's also because Fern doesn't, also is amidst to everyone that she doesn't know. She's like, I don't even like magic that much. Or she's kind of like, magic is what it is. It's not my passion. But when we know Stark is a warrior, like, he wants to be a warrior. That's where he came from.
He comes from a warrior village, but doesn't necessarily mean he wants to be a warrior himself.
But it's something that, he never is like, I want to be a farmer. I just want to plant things. That's kind of like, this is a great life for me. This is what
he wants to help people. That's the thing. Yeah. His motivation is helping others.
Like, I guess he wants to be a hero.
I think that's the one thing I want to say. Like, you notice that Himmel, he's not classified as a warrior. Himmel's classified as a hero. So what's the difference between a hero and a warrior? Like, it seems to be like two different classes if we're thinking about D&D style. Hero seems to be like you go on a hero path or you go on a warrior path, but it doesn't seem like they're one and the same the way it's used in the show. So when you were saying that Stark wants to be a hero, I don't know that he necessarily wants to be a hero. He just wants to go on a silly adventure. But he wants to be a warrior. I think the motivations of wanting to do this are very as different between the two. They're similar between Stark and Fern, but different enough that Stark feels more wholesome, whereas Fern feels a little more depressing.
I also feel like there's something after that. Like, I feel like once Stark goes back and tells his stories, I feel like he'll continue on a journey. Like, there's more to what he wants to do. It's not like, this is it. Once I complete telling him the stories, I'm really done. Well, Fern, we don't, it's kind of up in the air with whatever she wants to do.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
But I think that leads us to our fourth party member. And I don't know.
Brief party member,
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, and this is a, well, we'll just dive into this. So let's talk a little bit about Sign. What do you think about Sign? And then I'll let you know my thoughts about Sign.
I kind of want to hear what your thoughts are first. Because I feel like I
don't think we needed him. Honestly, maybe this is the filler that I was talking about. I don't know. He's in there for such a short amount. Not a short amount. He's probably in there for 6 or 7 episodes. That's not short. In 28, it's good. But he joins the crew reluctantly. He wanted to go on a journey as a kid. He was always afraid to leave, and then he didn't want to leave his brother. But he is a great... So, priests are basically healers, right? In this world? Yeah. So
something I don't like about this world is that you apparently can't be...
A healer without being a priest.
Yeah. What the hell?
I mean, though, the priest lifestyle doesn't seem very strict, though. You could still be a womanizer and a booze drinker and gambler and still be a priest.
That's true. I guess so.
So don't, you know, don't have to really worry about it too much. But it just seemed like he only joins the group because he was searching for his friend who invited him to join his party. But he didn't want to leave his brother alone, basically. I really was upset when he left the group. When finally the path where his friend went and the path the group is going divided or like forked, and he decided to go find his friend. I was very upset and just like, why did you even come, sir?
He needed a push to get out. Like he couldn't get out of the town. He couldn't leave his brother, and Fury's party just provided that push for him to go on this adventure.
It just felt like a waste of a priest. There was another priest in the show that I wish would have joined the...
He wasn't a priest.
Yeah.
He was a monk.
He was a monk, you're right. He could still join. Okay. I'm not as upset anymore. I still think they still need a priest in the group, though. They need a healer.
Yeah.
I don't like him as a character. I found him very meh.
See, I would have thought you would have loved him because he's...
Do you think he was going to be my favorite character?
No, I thought Shark was going to be more your favorite. I completely forgot about...
Sign?
Fuck. No, not Sign.
Oh, Craft.
Craft, yeah.
How can you forget about Craft?
I forgot that that would have been where your mind goes at that point in time. Because my mind was wholesome for this show. Anyway.
We'll get to Craft, everyone.
For Sign, I agree that it was kind of like very short-lived, but I think, one, you see a little bit of development with Frieren. Like, she's providing somebody the push that she needed, that Himmel gave her. So there's one thing that you get to learn, or I don't know, get to see that she realizes. But I think Sign's going to play a bigger role in the next season or in future seasons with his friend, Gorilla Warrior, and or Craft. I think right now we just met him. We know that there's this healer who's apparently like a genius level healer. So we have a genius level magician or mage. Two of them, actually. Fern and Frieren. We have a fantastic warrior, albeit a little bit of a scaredy cat, but person with truly good intentions and a good heart wanting to help others. And then you have your healer, who, again, genius level healer. So I honestly think this is gearing up for a future major conflict where all these like geniuses essentially in their own craft, geniuses in their own field are going to be creating a new party. And then one of them is finally going to draw the hero sword to beat the demon lord. Because I have a feeling that there's something with the demon lord that's either outstanding or whatnot. Or maybe there's a new demon lord that was born that is now even worse than the previous one. I don't know. But that's why I think he was introduced. So I feel like we're going to see more of him in future seasons. But personally, I don't like the guy very much. He, like you said, he's a womanizer. These series of episodes is what made me realize that you can't be a healer without being a priest. And I did not like that. Because if you know me, in D&D, I love playing support characters. I love playing the healer. And I'm not very religious. I would not be a priest. So I don't like that healing level magic, healing type of magic is all
priestly.
Religious based. And it seems like there's no women that are priests, and that's the case, because we didn't meet a single woman priest. Sure, women can use the tomes, the equivalent of the Bible, to cast priest spells, but it seems like it could only be a male thing. So,
this world.
I don't know about that. But yeah, I mean, you see two sides to this character. Like, you see the womanizer, gambler, like horrible priest of a person, like horrible person just in general, just kind of like a douchey person. But then at the same time, on the flip side, you see him being able to like do conflict resolution with Fern and Stark and helping them through their issues and kind of like pushing them along so that they can finally end up together at some point. But, and so that in that sense, you get to see more of a mature adult who cares for others and not just a jerk who's looking for a nice older lady.
Oh, yeah, I forgot that he was looking for an older woman. And they were like, Freerin is the oldest, you'll find.
That was hilarious. Yeah.
Oh,
if I was directed
man.
At me, I would have been done for. He might be, what does Stark say? He might be a pervy priest, but he's a priest nonetheless, or something like that.
I guess it'd be cool to run into him again for an episode, just kind of like, oh, hey, here you are. But I don't know if I'm taking all the best people, forming another group with the best of the best.
Yeah, I think that's what's going on, is you're going to see him, we're going to see him back. So I also agree, he's not my favorite. He doesn't add too much to the party's composition other than a much needed role so that Stark doesn't have his brain melt out of his nose.
That's funny. When he gets bit by after he's warned about the snakes, they like, watch out for snakes. And as soon as he reaches to a bush, that snake comes up and bites him.
I think I would be Stark in that situation. Something just bit me.
Yeah, sign. I don't know. Yeah, he never felt like a part of the group. And I don't know why I was upset when he left. I just felt like, he owed them something, but he didn't really owe them any. And then Freerin's only motivation was to get him out of the town and to start a journey. So,
yeah, give him push forward. Give him the push needed to get out.
She knew this was going to happen. So. Did you want to talk about the heroes?
I mean, I love Himmel. Obviously, he's a hero, and he's just portrayed as such a kind person. Yes, very conceited. Very conceited. Loves to have his statue made of him everywhere he goes, but and loves to say how gorgeous he is. But at the same time, he was, like Stark, a person that just wanted to do good for good's sake. Like, he even though he has a much bigger goal to defeat the Demon King, you see, like, he says, I can't not help somebody in need if I see them in need. Like, he's gotta help others, which in the end matters, because those little things are what basically create this culture of giving, essentially, is how I interpret it. And it's kind of like built up over time, and now that's how others, as you see, one of the other mages, like, even talks about this, referencing Himo. So I love him. I love his hair color. Blue is my favorite color. And he just feels like he's a very sincere person.
I find it funny when he shrunk down to the old Himo.
What?
When he was like old Himo and he's like tiny. I was like, wait, what's happening?
As you get older, you do shrink.
He shrunk a lot. He shrunk to the same size as I said. Like, they could have been the same person at that point.
He shrunk quite a bit.
Yeah, so it was... That would be funny, though. That would be funny if him and Freerun got married, and he's, like, now tiny. Oh,
man. I mean, it's probably because he's, like, hunched and, like, probably bending the knees quite a bit now.
If he stood up straight, he still wouldn't be tall. He was tiny. You see that in the first episode. Yeah, I like him a lot. I there's a moment where one of his stories that I really enjoy. So that would be one of my favorite moments. But yeah, the heroes are really great. That's how I want the group to be. That's a really good group for a party. I think all their energy matched each other. I think that's kind of what I was hoping for when Sign joined, to kind of get that. Because it's kind of the same grouping, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I was hoping that, but I didn't get that. I like hearing their stories, though. I would love a prequel anime.
Me too.
Of their journey together.
So, me too. I think that would go really well.
Or a movie. Maybe just a movie would be nice.
I could see a movie, but I kind of want to see a full anime. Mm.
Okay. So I definitely have some favorite moments in the show. I think see some of my favorite moments.
Oh,
there's
yeah,
a picture involved in one of them. But I want to know some of your favorite moments first.
It's not specifically a moment, but as we start to learn more about the magic in this world and how it works, I absolutely loved their whole concept of magic. This magic is essentially what your mind can think of it to be. So if you can think it and you can believe it, essentially, then you can make it happen. So with like that Psycho Girl and being able to cut through things that are seemingly uncuttable, undestructible, whatever, but it's just hair, it's just cloth. Like, I can just, if I can picture it, I can cut it. So I loved that whole arc, because at first you just think, oh, spells, like, you just teach each other spells, and you have basic attack magic, which is just a laser beam, essentially, of energy, beam of energy being shot, a shield spell. Like, it seems very basic. But, and then you obviously see those little quirky spells that Freerun gets here and there, but it doesn't, you don't really grasp at how spells work until this second arc. Basically, you can make any spell, you could develop your own spell, your own magic, just by being able to picture it. Like, one guy, he created his own magic by being able to turn flowers into like metal shards and being able to use that to like to inflict damage. The girl with the freaking hair for drails and insanity bewitching crap with her hair. There's just so many different applications. One other mage who can, a spell hits her, she can then take that spell from you and then have it attack you instead. I don't know if you know who I'm talking about. It's that girl, she is in the... It's She casts a healing magic on the guy that they find in the labyrinth, and she's the one that holds Frieren. Like hugs her. I don't know her name. Anyway, I'm not gonna look it up. It's fine. My favorite aspect of the show was, or not favorite aspect, but like one of my favorite things of it was just how magic is portrayed and this magic system that seems to be basically limitless because the mind itself is limitless and whatever you can picture, you can make happen is just a matter of practice. So I love that.
I love magic. I'm with you on that. I love the spells. I love the quirky spells that Frieren picks up. It's just something I enjoy. I as I said, that'd be something I would love. Of course, you know, Kraft. When you see this character, you're gonna know why. You know me. Oh. You know me. Just saying.
Oh yeah.
I was like, this is gonna be great. Another elf. This is gonna be fun. We're gonna have a fun time. And then nothing. You left me, guys. You left me. Yeah, it's sad. And then he comes back, and then I'm happy. So, yeah, I definitely want him to join the group next. I don't want him joining Sine's group next season. I want him to come back. Go with Frieren. This group's more fun. We're having a great time. And you know what? We got to keep that elf population growing, right? You don't see too many elves.
True.
So,
but I'm pretty sure Kraft is much older than Frieren.
Doesn't matter. He doesn't look it, guys. Doesn't look that much older.
I mean, the body certainly doesn't, but his face, you could see they do like draw like a little bit of the eye wrinkle, slight wrinkle to the eye.
Oh, we were looking at totally different things. okay. Anyway.
I know what you were looking at now.
And yeah, the pointy ears. Cool pointy ears. Nah, okay. This is my favorite moment in the whole season. And this changed the season for me. It's when Frieren is fighting Aura, the demon with the little pendulum, not the pendulum thing.
Okay, I was going to say that I was trying to think of
episode. Oh, is that one of your favorite moments?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. I was like, once the demon fighting started, once we get into the whole demon fighting part of that arc or that little story segment, I was like, oh, yeah, this is great. I love it. Frieren's such a badass. And little did I know how much of a badass she was. At the end of that battle, she's like, I've been holding my aura back. And then the scales tip into Frieren's favor. And then now she controls aura. And she says, what did she say? Cut your head off or like?
Kill yourself.
Kill yourself or something. She says that. And then I was like, God damn.
Yeah.
That moment was insane. When I get into my final thoughts about the show, everything will come together. But man, that moment I was like, oh, we're going. We're cooking finally. This is what I wanted. Oh, it was so good. It hypes me. Talking about now hypes me up still. That's like my favorite. That's definitely one of my top favorite moments in the series.
Yeah, that whole conversation, Aura, the one before you is a mage who has lived over 1,000 or something, and then boom, in like instant. I love that. But I could talk about my other favorite moment. I was trying to think of through like all the episodes because I love every single episode, to be honest. Like, so it's hard to pick one, but if we're talking about like epic battle scenes, it's gotta be Frieren versus Frieren.
The shadow of Frieren.
Oh my gosh. That was true. Like, you got to see Frieren at her like peak using her most powerful spells and just the absolute lack of like emotion, like just the pure indifference in her face as she's fighting herself, and you should see that there's like rock about to fall on them, zero emotion, and they just both jump out and then keep on fighting, and you see her cast these spells that she hasn't shown before, like she creates a freaking earth golem, of some sorts to fight, and obviously you have Fern in the background trying to sneak around and try to land a killing blow. And when the copycat Frieren is finally like driven back into a corner and she loses an arm, Fern just gets like sent flying and smacks into a wall. Her staff shatters. And even Fern is like, I didn't even detect any magic out of this. Like, it was like, and Frieren later like says like, yeah, good job, Fern. Like, that's a spell I haven't had to use a spell basically since in around 80 years, which is when she fought the Demon King. So I want to see the battle with the Demon King, because it must have been a truly epic battle, first of all. Because if she used that spell on the Demon King itself, because she's the one that killed the Demon King. I don't think it's outright said, but at one point, Himmel was selling Stein about trusting what Frieren says instead of like trusting their dynamic together. And she said that she was going to kill the Demon King, and that's kind of how I believe she killed the Demon King, because trust her words. But anyways, like, that whole battle scene was just epic.
I was watching them fight together. It was just very much of a, wow. It was watching a insane dance of them calculating each other's moves in split second, and giant spells being tossed around like nothing. And it really revealed the true power she possesses.
So she's a freaking, she's insanely powerful. The fact that the other party tried to fight her before Frieren and Fern got there, if I saw her guarding the door, I'd be like, peace.
I failed this test. When you drop your little thing, and you're like, get me out of here.
Yeah, get me the fuck out of here. I'm not even gonna try this shit. No, thank you. This is done. There's no way. Yeah, it's. That the whole fight scene was, I loved it. The that was like, if you like action, that was like the epitome of action in this show. But yeah, the fight with Aura was a lot less action-y, I would say. So I'm kind of shocked that that was your favorite one.
Oh, but it's so badass though. That ending is just where Frieren turns, like says it, and then just walks off. I was like, that is. You know when you see in movies, like, the characters walking away and the big explosion? That was that. When she said that, and it was just like, mic drop.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I was like, wow. So it wasn't the flashiest battle, but it was like
the way but she was. But it was like so powerful because of the storytelling, is what I'm saying. Like, it's not that the show lacked action. It's just, it's all about the storytelling in the show. And seeing all the details, everything slowly come together and then click into place. Like, that's what I love about the show.
Mm. Well, are there any other favorite moments you have? Man, I mean, everything.
I could go all night.
Okay.
I love, okay, yes. All right, anyway.
So, our final thoughts on the show. So, like every...
Wait. Oh. Before that, other than Mr. Abs, do you have a favorite character?
Oh, out of all the characters?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm, okay. Well, I like Stark a lot. Stark is, in the main group, I like Stark the most, probably. There is a character that I really like that I wouldn't mind seeing more of, but I don't think we'll ever see again. And I think his name is Richter. He's the guy who works in the, like, spell, like, he fixes Fern's
Richter.
Wand.
Yeah.
Richter. Yeah, I like him. I like him a lot. I don't know. I guess that's, I don't know. Why you bring that question up? Is there someone you think of?
I was just curious if you had any favorite characters? I got distracted. I was just curious if you had any favorite characters just in general.
Oh, yeah. Sark's probably my guy. I like Sark a lot. Weapon's cool. Attitude's fun. He's just a fun, like, someone you want to hang with. I think when I think, like, what's, like, favorite character, it's people I love to hang with.
Okay. So, that's what a, about that's you? A good...
Before we go with our ratings.
Favorite character.
Is it Denken?
That's a hard one because, I mean, obviously I love Frieren. I think outside of the main cast, like the main party, it's also from one of my favorites that I really like was from the second arc with the mage exam. And it's, his name was, what was it? Denken?
Yeah, is it Denken? You like Denken? He's like gonna murder people.
If he, one, I liked him for multiple reasons.
His plan was like, we'll murder these girls.
No, that was not Denken.
Oh, wait, that's not Denken? What was Denken?
That was Richter. That was your favorite character.
Oh, yeah.
He's the one that wanted to kill them.
I thought that was Denken's overall plan, though.
No, he just wanted to keep them busy. Okay. Babysit. And because they had the Shilla, and all they had to do was keep the party occupied so that they wouldn't get the Shilla back. And so Denken was going to be fighting
Frieren,
yes. And Richter was the one saying,
fighting the two girls.
I'm just going to kill one of the two girls. And then it's a moot point because they don't have to keep going after that. So he was the one saying that he wanted to kill them.
Okay. So why do you like Denken so much?
Yeah, mister. He's a killer.
First I'll of edit all, that out to make myself seem better.
Uh-huh. I will come back if, and I don't know how I'm going to do it, but I'm going to let everybody know. I'm going to let it be known. But anyways, I like Denken. One, he's very much a grandpa. Eat your vegetables. When he's telling the other girl, Lufin, to eat her vegetables and all that. And he's a very caring person. Like, obviously, he's gone through this power struggle where he is basically killed his opposition to get to the top, which is morally questionable at best. But at the same time, like, he doesn't believe in, he believes, like, in the pursuit of knowledge, the pursuit of spells, like, is what is important as opposed to getting the most powerful spell. He shows he cares for others. He doesn't want to kill needlessly. Like, he doesn't feel the need to spill mage blood for a test. So he's a very pragmatic person, but he also still has a lot of drive. And obviously, you get to learn, like, he lost his wife early on, never had kids. And he just seems like a very caring individual. After, like, he's this wise old man that after having gone through all his life, he's learned, and now he's trying to help others. That's one reason I like him. The other reason I liked him is because he basically says, "I told you so," to the other people saying that he was right, that they should form the party together and all traveled. In the labyrinth. He's like, he basically says, "I told you so." And I'm like, my guy, I love saying "I told you so." So that's another reason I liked him.
On that note, we always give a rating to the season on our scale, with Chef's Kiss being the best and Garbage Disposal being the worst. And I'm going to go first this time because just another peek behind the curtain of how we record is I don't put my thing in the notes on purpose because I don't want anyone to see what my rating is. But I do have my
rating. I don't put my on purpose because
I'm lazy.
I forget. I forget to write notes.
So I always write it somewhere else. So, but I want to go first because I don't want anyone to think I'm influenced by Miguel's rating. So I give, wait, I gotta find the thing. I give Free Ren Beyond Journey's End. Dramatic pause.
Ba-da-da-da-da-dum.
I'm actually giving this a chef's kiss. Because after I finished that last episode, I really sat there and thought about it. I thought about it and I was like thinking about what my rating was going to be. I was so conflicted about everything that's happened. It was a journey beyond the end for me. Beyond the world's end for me. This
you
whole thing.
You couldn't have so much for me.
Okay. This was a journey. Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay. This was a journey beyond world's end for me. And then what I really thought about everything all together, not just episodes and parts separate from each other, but as a season as a whole for me. And I was thinking about it, I was like, one, this anime is so beautiful. It's just so visually great to look at. The art is amazing. The characters look great. The backgrounds look fantastic. Second, when I started this show, I almost messaged you being like, the music is amazing. The music is so perfect for the show.
Oh my gosh, yes.
This music is like one of the highlights of, it's not even, it's not even like pop music or anything. It's just very well orchestral. Like, it's very good music. It's great background
orchestrated
music. Yeah, what he said. It's great. I loved it. Yeah, it was a little slow. But then the moments, when we get to those moments, the mage test, the battle in the labyrinth, fighting Aura, the demons, these are just such great moments. And then I thought about it, and I was like, you know what this is? This is eating your, you got to eat your vegetables. You got to eat your vegetables first, everyone. You know, you got to eat stuff that you may not enjoy, but that's good for you. This, the broccoli, the celery, the beans, they're good for you. You got to eat them. And then you get to the great stuff. Like, then you got, like, the juicy steak and all the other, the mean, like, oh, it's good. You got some starches in there. But, you know, this is a perfect meal. Free Ren, this season is a perfect meal altogether. If I didn't have the vegetables, I wouldn't enjoy the other part. It all worked together. And I loved it at the end. I think I messaged you right when I finished it. I was like, I'm done. I finished the season. Not to just let you know I'm ready to talk about it, but to also be like, in my mind, I was like, man, that was a great ride. At the end of the day, I enjoyed that a lot. I think, yeah, it's slow. It was hard to get through the first part. But once you get past it and you get to like the first demon fight, it's really great. It slows down again, yes. But when thinking back on it, like I said, the visuals are so great. It's beautiful to look at. And the music is amazing. So it's a fun ride. I enjoyed it all. There's nothing to change. I can understand why people love this anime so much. I think I am going to go back and rewatch it eventually. I just need a moment away from it for a minute. And I'm excited for season two. So it is weird for me to give it such a high praise, but this anime has so much going for it. I can recommend this with the caveat of being like, push through a couple episodes, push through it, and then you're gonna really find its groove. I know you're giving me this as like a couple episodes. Episode one was amazing.
Y'all can't see my facial expressions as we're talking. Y'all are listening to us, but we can see each other's faces right now, and I've been very expressive this whole time. I feel like.
I just think
rolling my eyes. And
this is, yeah, because he's not going to give a chef's kiss to everyone. This is the true. I just think the music, the visuals, everything. The slow parts pay off the action parts. That's it. And I just wish it would started off a little more high pace. But when I look back at it on a whole, I don't think I can give it anything else but really high praise. So for me, it's a chef's kiss, so I highly recommend this.
Wow.
I know.
First off, let me say, I call total and absolute BS on that.
What?
What
no,
he just
I love
said. he, He is trying to gaslight y'all. You heard how he talked about it throughout the whole show. And now he's just trying to gaslight us all. Don't believe him. Don't believe his lies. Now, my final thoughts and rating. I mean, like, Chef's Kiss is not high enough for me. We needed something above that. Honestly, like, we need something like 10, like, 5 levels above Chef's Kiss, because I absolutely adore this anime. I very much disagree that you have to eat your vegetables to get to the meaty, juicy steak, because I think everything was just delicious in this anime. Like, fantastic storytelling, like you said, fantastic visuals, music, amazing. The story, the arc, the character development. Sure, there's some characters that I'm not a huge fan of, like Sign. But I feel like everything has a purpose. And everything was very well thought out and is going to tie into something else in the future. We got a random episode about the hero sword not being taken from the stone. Essentially, kind of like the whole story with what's that sword, mythical sword,
Excalibur?
Huh? Excalibur, like, thank you. It's kind of like a reference to Excalibur. It seems a sword stuck in stone. Only the great chosen one hero is going to be able to take it. But there's a lot of those moments. There's a lot of like little things that are mentioned throughout the show that will eventually pay off in my, as an educated guess. So this show has so much going for it. Yes, it's kind of slow, but I think that's the whole point. It's supposed to be a kind of slice of life. So you're not going into this, you shouldn't go into this expecting to something like My Hero Academia, Demon Slayer. Like, it's not like this high packed, like energy intense anime where you're going to be like on the edge of your seat the whole time. It's as much, very much like a story of life and going through and learning how to grieve loss, learning how to truly appreciate life for what it is. I feel like it has a lot of great messages in the story. Like, absolutely loved it. I've watched it so many times because of that. My husband would often come downstairs or get home and see me rewatching it for the umpteenth time. I got him to watch it as well. He wanted to do this episode with us today. Unfortunately, he felt a little bit under the weather, so he wasn't able to record with us. But he also loved it. I've probably seen this show at least 10 times. At least. And that's a conservative estimate. And I will probably keep watching it dozens, if not hundreds of times more, because it's just such a great comfort show for me. So it's something that I can have in the background. I can go to sleep to. Something I can just sit and rewatch, because I always find something new. I always see something that I missed at every rewatch. And I just enjoy it. So it's easily become one of my top favorite anime.
Well, those are just some of our opinions. But we would love to hear y'all's thoughts about the season.
And they better be good, or I'm coming after you with a pitchfork.
So please leave us those comments and tell us your favorite moments and characters. You can find us on everything at Anime Bitto Pod. You can find me at Jimsta2.
You can find me on Twitch at AquamaxX. Although I haven't been active, I do hope to be active here soon after I move.
Oh, that's all for this week's episode. Until next time, stay legendary.
And don't forget to keep watching anime.
Bye.
Bye-bye.